Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Amarta Bernal and you are listening to A Different Path. Hey there everyone, this is Armando and today I have with me Helen Pappas from North Haven, Connecticut. She is a photographer, an amazing artist, and an autism advocate. She was diagnosed at a very young age, just like myself. And I am so excited that all of you guys get to meet her. How are you doing today, Helen?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am doing very well. Well, I have been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. I have yet to have a photographer that's also been diagnosed with autism. How did you even get into that kind of field?
I always knew that I loved art. I think it's around age 6 or 7 that I started to draw, but I wasn't really very good at it. It actually wasn't until I moved to Connecticut and when I started transition school that I started to practice photography. Before that, I took art classes in high school, but I wasn't really good. I still wasn't understanding the portraiture, how to draw portraits. But after I enrolled in transition school, it was there that I started to practice photography. A lot of my teachers saw that I had a lot of talent that I wasn't giving myself credit for. It was actually one picture I took of a kayaker that they noticed. And that was when I started to really get going, get serious about my work.
How long have you been doing photography since then that was more serious?
It's almost 10 years now.
Wow.
This upcoming year will be 10.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's a big accomplishment.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back a little bit. You were talking about transition school, right? And in my experience, so I'm in Texas and we don't have something like that in Texas, or at least in my area of Texas. And so what are the qualifications to get into transition school? How did that even come about? Why were you not in a public school setting and had to go to transition school?
I'm actually continuing school. It's not like a college. It's more like a special program, I guess, to say people with special needs. It's more like I'm continuing school, but at my level.
Okay. So what kind of supports were you needing during that time?
We did a lot of activities that involve learning basic skills, such as doing laundry, math skills, practicing math, and cooking. So we did a lot of life skills and also checking the news and the weather reports. And there I also made a lot of friends.
That's awesome. And you still keep in touch with them today?
Yes, I do. Several of them.
That's really cool. Was there a certain time that you realized that you were diagnosed with autism? Did your parents tell you? Did you find out on your own?
Well, my parents kind of told me that I have autism, but I didn't fully understand that at the time. It wasn't really till I was 12 that I started to learn more about my disability. I've done research and I've learned a couple of characteristics about myself.
Like what?
I'm very organized. I like to put objects in a certain order and I tend to see from a different perspective than most people.
So do you feel like with your photography and this being able to see it in a different perspective, that's allowed you to create the art that you have?
Yes.
That's awesome. So what is it that you like to take pictures of the most?
Oh, well, I'm a big animal lover. I love animals, wildlife, landscapes. I love being around nature and trees. But I also enjoy taking pictures of people, some action shots, architecture, just mostly anything I find interesting, really.
And so when we talk about your diagnosis and you got diagnosed early and you found out later on and you really understood it around 12 to 15 or so, what did that do to the rest of your life? Did you feel out of place? Were you ashamed that you had autism?
Well, not really ashamed, but I just didn't fully understand it. When we moved to Connecticut, I started to learn more about my disability.
What did you learn about it?
Maybe sometimes I do things differently or I act out a certain way, maybe say certain phrases that I don't mean.
Would you say that your parents were a reason why you had so much support and you felt like you could do things like your photography?
My parents were very supportive. And they're very proud of the work that I do. And my family's just really special.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool that that you have that kind of support. I know that there's a lot of people that do struggle with that. And it's important to have that kind of support system. What is life like for you right now? Are you living with others? Are you very independent? Are you able to be on your own?
Well, right now I'm living with my family. I would say I would still need some help, a lot of help sometimes, but I'm able to live independently.
What was the struggle like for you to get to that point? Or was there one at all?
Yeah, I had a lot of struggles in the past and up until now. Yeah, there have been a lot of struggles to get my business going. I'm still trying to create my website, actually. It's not up and running yet.
What made you decide that this was your calling? Photography rather than anything else? What drew you the most to it?
All right. I always knew I was really creative, and my grandfather was actually a painter. We have some of his paintings in our home. Or that was because of him. I learned through ancestry DNA that one of my ancestors is Henry David Thoreau, the nature and poet enthusiast.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
We learned about him in high school, actually.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's like one of those people that you always learn about in high school that everyone does. That's super cool. How are you related to him?
Apparently he's a distant cousin, 5 times removed, I believe.
That's true. So how did you feel when you heard about that?
I'm very excited that related to someone famous.
Yeah, that's super cool. No, that's a big deal. With everything that you've been going through, right? And you went from going from like Colorado to Connecticut. What was that move like for you? Or what have typical moves been for you when things don't often go the way that you wanted them, or things, you know, change very suddenly? What is that like for you?
A lot of times I'm very flexible. When we moved to Connecticut, I knew it was going to be a big process, a big step. Since then, I traveled to a lot of places, and I really love the town that we're in. It's a very supportive and friendly community.
That's really awesome. So a lot of people are aware of your diagnosis in your town.
Yes.
Do you feel like people treat you differently because you have the diagnosis, or do you feel like you're treated the same?
I feel like I'm treated the same with a lot of support. A lot of people have really supported me and taught me tips on how to do my business.
That's awesome. Do you have any partnerships that you want to give a shout out to?
Yes, I would like to give a shout out to Best Buddies International, Best Buddies Connecticut, Autism Speaks, and the North Haven Special Needs PTA and the Hamden Connecticut Special Needs PTA. Oh, they really mean a lot.
What do they mean to you?
One of the people in charge of the Facebook group, Monica. Yeah, we done a lot of events in the past. We done a lot of bullying, and we just been fundraising to help kids with special needs.
So with the new information that's been out, and I'm not sure how aware of it you are, with the CDC, they've updated their prevalence of autism. It went from, you know, at one point, 1 out of 250 kids has autism, to now it's 1 out of 44 kids has autism. When you hear information like that, that there's now more children being diagnosed with autism than ever before, or that was known about, what does that mean to you? And does it mean anything to you?
Yes, it just means, it really means a lot to me. It just means there's going to be a lot of people that don't understand what their disability is about, and they might want to learn more and might need some inspiration.
I feel like your story in of itself is an inspiration, that you're able to show others what can be accomplished despite the diagnosis. That, I mean, there's probably families right now that think that their child may not be able to do much in their life. And here you are with your own photography company. Like, that's exciting. What steps were done by your parents to help you when you received this diagnosis? Do you remember, did they ever talk to you about it?
I don't remember if they ever talked to me about it. I just remember like I had IEPs in like middle school and high school. I know they just been helping me a lot. They've just been really supportive of trying to get me to be independent, like helping me to cook, learn new recipes, trying to do things up for on my own. Learn new things.
Would you say you're a good cook?
I'm all right. Oh, my dad's a better cook.
that's the truth out of everyone. I was like, oh, I just hope I don't burn water.
Yeah.
So do you still feel the need to stick to a routine, or are you comfortable with getting out of that routine?
I would say I'm comfortable trying to learn new things. Just doing one routine, it would be kind of boring for me. I'm a hands-on learner, so I like to do new things every day.
And you started this photography, right? When you were learning it, I don't know anything about photography, but I do know that there's a lot of lenses. There's a lot of different types of cameras you use. Was it easy to understand that? Was it just something that you you know, really hyper-focused on or just did a lot of research on to realize, you know, what was the best camera for certain situations?
Yeah, it wasn't actually that easy for me at first. I had to learn the technical buttons and the options of my camera. I have a manual, but I'm actually part of the North Haven Camera Club. They're the ones that really taught me everything about how to use the camera and the different techniques. We do a lot of presentations on that as well.
That's super cool. So yet again, you know, friends is a key factor, right? The support system, being able to have your family support you, your friends support you. That's a big deal. With the pictures that you've taken, they look incredible. What would you say is the hardest part of taking pictures? Is it taking the pictures themselves, or is it the after effect when you have to, clean up a picture or make it look a certain way?
Well, the hardest part is finding inspiration, finding what to take pictures of. I usually look at pictures as references to get some ideas. I'm more of a picture hands-on learner. So I use pictures as references whenever I need inspiration.
Do you ever compete with your pictures? Do you ever put them in competitions?
I put them in a couple of art galleries in our town. One of them actually, one of the Coonhound, a friend's dog, it actually won an honorable mention.
That's really cool. That's awesome. So when you're completing the day-to-day activities, what do you feel are the most effective strategies you can use in order to deal with these unknown and sudden changes?
My strategies are to keep busy whenever I can, just breathe and try to be flexible whenever I can.
And it relates back to your transition school, right? Like the breathing techniques. And you're saying to keep busy. What does keeping busy look like to you? Is this something that other people can do in their own lives?
Whenever you don't have anything to do, like just reach out to a friend or take notes if you want to. Maybe watch a movie. Try to come up with a list of stuff that maybe you can do or maybe you want to do, or just stuff that you want to get done.
Do you have anything on your list that usually comes up over and over?
Yeah, I actually have a very long list. I create lists all the time. I try to write things down as much as I can.
I mean, I think we can all relate to that. I have so many things that need to get done that I never get done.
One of the things I'm trying to do is write a screenplay. I mean, I've never done that before. So I'm still learning how to actually write an actual screenplay, but I have a good idea of a storyline in mind.
Do you want to tell us about it, or is it a secret?
Well, I'll surprise you.
You know what, Helen? Hit me back up whenever you become famous. I want to star in your screenplay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, and we talk about society, right? Let's go back to your town that you're currently in. You're saying everyone's super accepting of you, super, you know, willing to support you in what you're doing. Do you feel like society as a whole feels that way, or is it just certain, you know, pockets of the United States or other areas?
I mean, I guess it depends on, where you're living. But there might be some people that aren't accepting, but a lot of people that you might know are accepting. Yeah, it really depends on, where you're living.
Do you believe that more education can be done? We talk about autism acceptance and we talk about autism awareness, right? Those are two different things. Where do you think we are currently, if you had to say, are we more society that is more focused on just the awareness? People aren't really sure what autism is. Or are we at a point now where we say, yes, autism is here, but we have to accept, you know, Helen and, you know, Armando in the workforce. So we have to accept others in society in different ways and include them in different ways.
I say we could do more research on, some people can do more research on autism, maybe learn more about us. We don't have to accept the fact that we have special needs, but I really wish that those few people that don't understand could just take the time to learn more about us.
How can they do that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if someone mentioned us to them, they don't understand or just maybe look at us differently, they could use the resources they have and learn more about us.
Have you been able to find others with the diagnosis of autism that support you also online, or has it always just been in your town?
No, they're online. They're actually on Facebook.
How does that feel when you find other people with your diagnosis?
I would have to say very glad. I've actually been able to find people by accident sometimes. Even people that post jobs have disabilities. I just been really, really glad that there's someone online that understands what I'm going through.
I think it's been an honor for myself. I've hosted this podcast for, you know, some time now, and I've gotten to meet a lot of other individuals with autism. And growing up, I didn't know anyone, you know, and I don't know, you were in transition school, so you knew a few people, but I didn't know anyone else with the diagnosis. And being able to meet, you know, you and all my other guests that I've spoken to, it's been a real joy to know that other people are going through what I went through or did go through, right? And it's wonderful to see that you're just being as successful as possible. Is there anything you wish that others did differently when interacting with others who have autism?
Maybe just ask questions about us, or maybe do ask about the resources or resources we have, or if they want to learn more about us, they can just ask.
Is there, so, and I love that point. I think you're right. I think a lot of people can just ask. There's, I feel, and you may disagree with it, that there is a sense of animosity sometimes between, you know, individuals with autism and neurotypical peers, where maybe they're trying to ask questions, but it comes off as a bit, you know, maybe ignorant or maybe insulting. Is there ways that you feel people should ask certain questions, or should just, or is it a matter of just making sure, hey, you're asking a question respectfully?
I try to be as understanding as I can. Maybe if they rephrase the question, maybe.
How do you feel about those that do go online or that do, you know, get upset at some questions? Do you think that that's the right way of getting across autism acceptance and awareness? Or do you think there's a different way that people could go about it? And I'm not talking about the neurotypicals, I'm talking about maybe individuals with autism, you know, getting upset. There's, you know, certain social media groups that show senses of frustration. What can be done differently there?
Just a private message to person saying you kind of hurt my feelings, or maybe ask them what they meant by that, by what they meant.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, being able to self-advocate, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of your transition. Your transition school is to be able to stick up for yourself or be able to say your wants and needs. I think that's really cool. So we talk about autism and how, you know, it affected your life and how it affects the people that you're around. How does it affect your photography? Do you think that you're doing something completely different? Is it, do you see pictures a different way than others?
Yes, I see pictures not really through the lens, but maybe outside the lens. I kind of like use my hands to see lean lines or maybe like a frame. I do see my pictures differently.
How do you frame it? Go more into detail about that.
It's a macro photography, like getting close up to pictures or maybe standing in a different angle. Or maybe just squatting down low or trying to get, maybe you see something that others don't and you might want to show them how that object or that one thing is important. They might not want to toss it away or think differently of it because that thing is important.
When you talk about your pictures and you know, you do animals, you do architecture, location, what would you say is like your dream picture, like the one that you want to be able to take?
Be a travel photographer or travel the country, not really in within the US. I mean, not outside of it, but I love to travel and take a lot of pictures and meet new people.
Have you been able to travel often?
Well, not really often. I mean, I traveled to a lot of places, different places in Connecticut, but I mean, the last time I went on vacation was in Florida. Yeah, I took a lot of pictures there. It was, I had a great time.
Are you the photographer for your family? Are they the ones that are like, okay, well, we're going to really enjoy the moment, but you're like, no, we have to get the perfect picture.
I'm mostly the main photographer in my family.
yeah, I'm the same way with my fiance. She went on a trip recently and with her sister. Her sister took hundreds of pictures on this location that they went to. But my fiance, all she took were three pictures, and two of them were of a baby duck. So,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. She had her priorities straight. But yes, in our relationship, we are also where I'm the photographer and she's like that. So it's interesting that you say that. When you went to Florida, that's a completely different kind of, you know, location, different kind of region than Connecticut. How different was it for you for those pictures?
It wasn't that different. I used to go there with my family all the time. We go on vacation down there, but we don't so much anymore. This is the last time that I been there.
Is there a certain place in the United States, because it seems like you want to stay domestic, you don't want to go, you know, to different nations to take pictures. Is there a certain place in the United States that you would like to take pictures?
Oh, yes, the western region, Arizona. I love the west, the western cowboys, the landscapes, the Grand Canyon, just the western scenery. And the landscapes are really beautiful. I love the horse and the stallion and the old architecture there, like the old saloon or the bars.
How long do you usually take photographs? Could you spend all day out? Do you spend, you know, an hour or two?
I spend part-time out taking pictures. I take a lot of pictures, like about like maybe 120 to 200. Then I pick out the best ones and delete the blurry photos, the out-of-focus pictures mostly.
Your career, is this what you do full-time, photography, or is there anything else you do?
Well, I work part-time. I'm actually trying to get to full-time for my photography. It's still in progress, but I'm working on it.
Okay. No, that's awesome. So the part-time job and the photography together, they make like your full-time job. You're able to have, you know, the profit from your part-time and your photography, and that's enough to sustain you?
Yeah. Well, it's more like my part-time job that's helping me to get going. My business.
What has been, you know, your favorite moment with your customers with your business that you have going on?
Just interacting with them, making sure I understand what they want and helping them to get the best picture and showing them if they like it or not, or if they want me to reduce it. I'm happy to help.
How active are you with your customers?
I would say very responsive, very, very active.
Do you feel like your autism has been more of a strength or a weakness for you?
I would say kind of both. It's been both a strength and a weakness. There have been some obstacles in my life leading up to my, some challenges in my life leading up to my, my business and my photography, but I've learned to be flexible.
What does flexibility look like for you?
Try to work it out. Or if things don't work out, then I just maybe reschedule that, try to reschedule that event or refer to customer.
That's really great. I mean, that's what you want to be, right? You want to be as flexible as possible with your customers. Are there any current struggles that you still face today with your autism that you wish you could overcome?
Yeah, my anxiety. Yeah, I have a lot of anxiety. I try to breathe as much as I can, try to ask questions whenever I can. And I just always ask for help. And remind myself to do my best. That's all I can do.
That's really cool. And you think that would be helpful for anyone listening as well?
Yes. Oh, there's also a special quote by Harry Morgan that I think would benefit to a lot of people. It's too big a world to be in competition with everyone. The only guy I have to get better than is who I am right now. And that's by Harry Morgan.
I love that. That's really cool. I mean, I think a lot of times when we go in social media or we look at other people, we compete against them. And that's not true. That's a beautiful quote, Helen. Thank you so much. So with everything we've said tonight, right? You have your own business and we've talked about that with your photography. Where is it that people can reach out to you if they have questions or they want to reach, you know, talk to you, maybe buy some of your photography?
Well, I'm still working on, my business isn't up and running just yet. I'm still trying to work on it, but they can find me on Facebook, Miss Dua Photography. That's MISTUA, photography. It's actually Autism Scrambled. One of my friends helped me to come up with it. I loved it. I thought it sounded like mystery.
That's pretty clever. I love that. Is there, is your website up and running yet?
Not just yet. I'm still trying to work on it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no, definitely everyone check her out. I think that'd be incredible. So, and lastly, Helen, one thing I like to do with all of my guests is to try and get them to give just a piece of advice for anyone listening. So what advice or suggestions would you have, not just for the parents listening, but also other individuals with autism who may be struggling to find their own path?
You got this. Just always remember your light will prevail. Don't ever let anything stand in your way. You can do this. Just believe.
Thank you, Helen. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on tonight. I would love to have you again, but thank you for everything.
Definitely. You're welcome.
All right. Have a great night, Helen.
Thank you.
That's our show this month. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please be sure to like us on Facebook and Instagram at AutismINTL. And if you like what you heard, please be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, I am Armando Bernal, and I hope to see you again when we travel down a different path.